Heavenly Father, bless the word spoken in your church today. May that word reach into our hearts and bring forth the harvest in due season through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Warnings against idleness seem irrelevant in our culture today. Those who have work seem to have more and more. And those who don't have work are stuck in a trap. Where can they find that work? The old times have gone when you worked for a firm for 30, 40 years, received your gold watch at the end of the time. Now it's contracts, short. Life is short. There may be shades of grey in our society, and some play the system, but very few are idle by choice. Paul's warnings, then, shed an interesting light on his teaching. The idleness against which Paul warns wasn't caused by his eschatological preaching. That's a lovely word, eschatological. You all know this from Peter and from other people before you. It means the end times or the end things. And some say the world's going to end, so why work if it's going to end? Happened just recently in Russia. But there was a board in London outside of one of these churches, Wayside Pulpit, and it said, "Where will you be on Judgment Day?" And someone had scrawled underneath, "Still waiting for the number 10 bus." Paul's teaching was one of mutual support. They came together for bread and wine and prayers, agape meals. That word agape meaning is love or value or esteem. Feelings of generous concern, devotedness, agape. That's how the upper courses took off with a meal, students longing for a meal and then listening to the teaching, and that's how the Alpha courses began so well. But there are plenty of warnings of the end times in the other readings, but we must be careful not to jump to the wrong conclusions. Luke is talking about the fall of Jerusalem, AD 70, not the end of the world. Now you can take this as a model. When all is falling down around you, as happens to many of us, trust God. Trust God. The church in persecution will testify to God's faithfulness. His promises are true. He will provide the words of wisdom if we, for our part, are ready to persevere. What we learn from the gospel today? First of all, Jesus could read the signs of history. Others were blind to approaching disasters, but Jesus could see that avalanche about to descend upon them. It's only when we begin to see things through God's eyes, it clarifies itself. Secondly, Jesus was completely honest. This he said to the disciples, "You must expect, if you choose to follow me." But the disciples didn't really understand. Jesus, as we read in the Gospels, when Jesus was telling his disciples, he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Peter's outcry, "No, Lord, no, Lord, not you, no, no, this will never happen to you," as we, any of us would to a dear friend. But Jesus turns to Peter and says to him, "Get behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block. You do not have the mind of God, but the mind of men." You see, it's different. We see things on this level, horizontal level, but God also sees things to the horizontal, vertical too, the cross. We have to see things both ways. As a mission to seamen chaplain, you're called many names. You get used to it. You become oblivious to what they call you. You know, the sky pilot, the man who walks on the waters, all sorts of things. But in Jesus' time and in Jesus' company, how that must have hurt Peter to be called Satan. On another occasion, the mother of the sons of Zebedee asked Jesus if her two sons could sit on Jesus' left and right in the kingdom, which shows a caring mother wanting the best for her sons. Jesus replied, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup which I am going to drink?" "We can," the sons replied. So Jesus said, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit on my left or my right is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." There's good discussion. Thirdly, Jesus promised his disciples They would meet, they would never meet trials and temptations alone. We meet problems in life, but Jesus promised never alone. The evidence of history has shown that Christians in torture or awaiting death have met sweet times with Christ, in that a prison can be like a palace, a scaffold like a throne, the storms of life like summer weather, when Christ is with you. Jesus spoke of a safety that overcomes any of the threats in the world. Not one hair of your head will be harmed. In that First World War, 1914-18, Rupert Brooke wrote a poem. And poems are great inspiration from the souls of people in time. He wrote these lines. From the battlefields, we have found safety with all things undying. The winds and the mornings, tears of men and mirth. The deep night and birds singing and clouds flying and sleep and freedom and the autumnal earth. We have built a house which is not for time's throwing. We have gained a peace unshaken by pain forever. War knows no power. Safe shall be my going. Secretly armed against all death's endeavour. Safe through all safety's lost. Safe where men fall. And if these poor limbs die, safest of all. The person who walks with Christ may lose his or her life, but can never lose their soul. Amen.